This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
What's up, Greg?
Not much. You're wearing one of the sweaters I like a lot. I like looking at it. Jen, lean in and look at it. Look at the detail on it.
It's actually a thermal.
That's why I like it. I'm not kidding. I like this sweater, and I've seen it. It reminds me of my dad's long underwear. You know, big old number one crane operator, Greg Miller. He comes back from a job in Chicago in January. He used to be wearing the long underwear thermals underneath his flannels.
Right. Well, you know, it snowed there, and here I'm just an old man who's cold all the time.
Well, no, that's the thing. Everything Dad wore back then, you know, I'd get mocked for. Either my friends making fun of him, or like when he gave me like the Napa hat, like he had a Napa hat from Napa Auto Parts. He gave me that thing, and I'd wear that to school. He'd call me a Napa head. Like, go take a nap, Napa head. Like, don't get me wrong, kids aren't that inventive with their insults, but it hurt, and I stopped wearing the hat. You know what I mean? But it's a dope hat. It was this big old yellow hat, Andy, had Napa all over it, one of those little blue balls on top.
I like the picture that you're wearing, like, an entire bodysuit of this one material, and there's, like, the butt flap, you know?
Oh, you mean, like, it's, like, long, like, the Wild Wild West, and I have to go out and take a poop in the outhouse?
Yeah.
This is always the thing, Andy. If I can for a second, this is why I don't. This is why I don't hike, and this is why I don't camp. The idea of having to poop in the wild gives me so much anxiety. I don't like it. I'll never do it. If there's a hotel within anywhere hiking distance, I will go to the hotel, poop, get a coffee, come back to the hike.
What might slip in while you're? What might slide in?
But he's not glamping, Kevin. He wants to get out there and actually find the wilderness and the ticks.
No, first of all, he would never do that. Yeah, everyone's pooped in the wild. No one feels good about it afterwards.
I've never done it.
First Christmas, Jen ever took me home. Her crazy hiking sister got a special little shovel to bury her poops when she went hiking in the desert, and she was very excited about it.
Because your poops just don't disappear when you hike in like Death Valley. You have to
bury them.
You have to work for that. Do you dig the hole first, or do you dig the hole right next to the poop and then like?
Like a cat?
You know, like a cat, yeah.
I think you dig the hole first, but you do raise an interesting point, seeing as how none of us have done it. That I would think you dig the hole first, but then you are talking about pinpoint accuracy.
I'd like to know in the live chat who thinks they're good at this, at pooping in the wild. And then what do you
Melissa Hagler immediately has already outed her husband. Cody's done it. I'm outing you, Mr. Hagler. So we'll get a report here from Cody Hagler in a moment.
Okay, good. I want to know, because I want to know what the wet wipe situation is. Is that legal? Can you put that in Nevada State Park?
No, you can't put that in the poop hole you made in Death Valley.
They're not biodegradable. No. I thought they were.
You look for otters.
But it's also that thing where it's like you and me, Nick, are talking as...
Look for otters?
Nick, you and I are talking as two people who live in the city and can do whatever we want, right? Yeah. I have a feeling that if you're pooping in the desert and you're just like living off Cliff Bars and granola and stuff, your poop's coming out like just a solid log. You know what I mean?
It comes out like the dirt.
It's actually a lot of fiber. So like, it's probably smoother.
Yeah, but you're also probably.
But it's like, it's packed together. Yeah. You've seen my poop up there. I go in there, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like chicken wings and M&Ms. It's like, that's not giving me a solid thing.
Jesus.
I've asked him to see the doctor about that.
I refuse to. It's my entire life that way. What do I care? You know? And it's also, I think, because I'm so loud, I swallow a lot of air. And I think that's got to have something to do with it. I've never Googled it.
But you drink a lot of alcohol. I'm so loud that I swallow a lot of air. Like that, Greg, you've said a lot of weird things. That is a uncharacteristically non-Greg thing to say. That seems more like a Nick thing to say.
That is like 7-year-old logic.
Well, Andy, you come over, you listen and look at my poops, and you tell me what's going on, right?
Okay.
It's not like I don't eat a vegetable here and there. You know what I mean?
We've all heard you poop extensively.
I know. Right?
I've never heard Greg poop before.
I've never heard a man more afraid of people hearing him poop than Greg Miller, which I semi respect. But it is only semi.
See, I think Kevin, I think what you're confusing it, because Greg's like a stealth pooper. You never know when he's pooping. I don't think I've ever.
That is the opposite of true.
I never knew when he's pooping.
I went out of my way. I tried my hardest not to poop at the studio. When I did, it would be faucets on the whole way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sing a song in there,
Nick. If you ever heard the sound of a chainsaw and a jackhammer going, that was Greg trying to mask. That was Greg masking the poop.
You do realize we would be in there and we'd hear the faucet go on, and some of us would just be like, all right, let's walk to the other room. Let's give it 5 minutes.
I'm right near the doorway, by the way. So, like, it's leaking. I'm getting some of the effects, you know?
Oh, man. Oh,
I appreciate it. I'm sorry.
It's like the people that were close to Chernobyl. You know what I mean? Like, I'm within the radius of it. You know?
Yeah, you're the first wave.
Yeah.
He's awakened the baby a couple times, by the way, because like.
Okay, that's not true. That's not accurate.
Next door, right? That makes sense.
Yeah.
When you ran in there to throw up Saturday night, you woke him up. So let's not start throwing stones from our glass house, Jan. All right.
Sorry, I'm a screamer.
You know what I mean? Screaming the entire way to the bowl.
It's coming up.
One of the other voices you hear is Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the engaged one at Tim Geddes.
Never pooped in the wild. And it has less to do with the poop part of it, more to do with, like, I'm real particular about my hands being clean. I need them clean all the time. And that just sounds like a recipe for disaster there.
For sure, for sure.
But it does sound liberating. The wind,
but that's the thing. So you can hold your poops? You can hold your poops.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Can't do that. Can't do that for a second. If I gotta go, I gotta go. You've heard the story, the chill in the grocery store. It's all well documented. You don't need to worry about it. But I'll tell you, Andy, oof, the times I've had to go and you just gotta go. Now, again, the pee I can hold forever. And I credit this, once we went camping, Yogi Bear, Amboy, Illinois, Jellystone Park, we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. We went and watched Wayne's World. Maybe it was Wayne's World 2, I forget, but they were doing movie night there. Me and my friends went and I had about 19 Dr. Peppers. And let me tell you, it was painful walking home, but I got there and then I peed. It was that thing, Kevin, you've been there, Kevin, where you drink so much soda, right, that you got to go to the bathroom so bad, but then you cross over the threshold that when you got to the bathroom, I had to sit there and like, come on, go. Like, I just, like my body had turned to stone. My bladder had turned to stone. Yeah. And ever since then, not a problem. Not a problem. Incredibly painful, but not a problem now. I can hold the problem.
That always happens to me when I'm in an emergency situation at the movies. And it's like, all right, I need to plan out this pee. There's a soft there's a soft moment of dialogue here. I can likely miss this. I got to go pee really, really quickly. And I've been needing to go for the last hour. And I get there. It's like, hurry up. I'm missing out on fucking
the death blow.
John Bernthal doing something, you know?
Andy, can I ask you a question? Very personal question. When you leave the theater and you see that runway of just that silent carpet, and it's a little bit farther than you want it to be.
So bad.
Do you get a little bit of a gallop going, a little bit of a run going?
Sure, yeah. A little, and when a mile jog.
Do you ever feel like Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible before?
Jesus God.
See, the problem with it is it's like your body and your mind want you to do the gallop.
Yeah.
But your bladder's like, you can't be doing those type of moves now. Like, this is DEFCON 5 situation. Yeah. You got to kind of just like shimmy quickly down that extremely long hallway.
Do you ever pull on your waist like your kind of pants. Jeans? Yeah, the pants. Mm-hmm. You ever pull away from your bladder and you go, oh yeah, that's affecting it. I didn't realize that this was actually kind of pressure. Digging into it. Yeah, 100%. The pressure.
Have you never unbuckled because you're like, I need the space. I need the space. I'm gonna need that extra centimeter there for the. I hold.
We didn't everything. Account for this. Yeah.
I hold everything to the limit often. Because I don't like, I don't like
Kevin unbuckling because he needs the space.
I hate using public restrooms. It grosses me out.
For sure.
Anytime I'm taking a pee and I can hear someone else like farting away, getting through their stuff, I'm always like, this is, I don't want to do this. I don't want to contribute this to the world.
There is one, Kevin, because I don't disagree with you. I don't think it's abnormal to feel that way. Mm-hmm. But there is something really liberating and freeing about being in an airport restroom, knowing that you're never going to be here or see any of these people ever again, and having your Bluetooth headphones on, blasting something, and then blasting in the toilet. And you do it, because I've got loud music in my ears, and I'm like, I don't care who's around me. There may be nobody. There may be seven, you know, stalls full of people in each stall, seven people in each stall. And I'm just like, I'm just going at it. But the music, I'm just kind of like in a different spot.
You feel like
you're
in your personal space, yeah.
I've got other priorities too, Greg. It's like I got to get to the gate. This is the least of my worries. Other people hearing.
Have you already picked up your snacks? Do you need to pick up your snacks? Are you worried about that? What did the line look like when you passed the Hudson News?
Exactly.
Did it look like I'm going to be there forever? You know
barbecue
what I mean?
Baked Lays? Sort of, you know, like,
I'm
going
to pay $19
meanwhile,
for some nuts.
The stalls next to Andy are just like, Is he farting to the tune of Tom Sawyer by Rush?
Yeah, sure is. Sure yeah. is. And I go, you're right. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people say, Greg, you've got no new stories to tell. I saw something once so horrifying at SFO. I've never told a soul, and I'll tell you all now. Went into the bathroom, just peed, nothing crazy. Came back out then to use the faucets, you know, wash my hands or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there was an employee there cleaning the sinks. And I was like, this is a great service, and I'm glad this person did this. But then what he did is he took a brush and he went up around the inner rim on the inside of it.
I don't need to see that ever.
Knocked down a whole bunch of weird worm bugs. SFO bathrooms, worm bugs up in the crust of the sinks, everybody.
See now, now I'm never going to the toilet outside ever again.
Wait, but how did you, you got close enough to see
it? I mean, there's multiple sinks, so I'm washing my hands next to it, and he goes, do-do-do, and all these little wiggly fucking worms came down.
Yeah. At that point, you need to be like, sir, is that a normal occurrence? Or are you
I'm going to stop you right there. I'm going to stop you right there. What is the infestation of these worm bugs like in this entire facility? No.
I just feel like I'm not mature enough to go to the bathroom in public restrooms like that, like number two. Number one's fine, but number two, I'm with Andy where I feel like very self-conscious about people hearing anything that's happening. And then I go, but instead of Andy like just doing what a normal human being should do, which is just kind of dealing with it and pretending like it's not happening, I have to call attention to it. And I'm sure you guys have heard this. Like if there's a sound that happens from my body that I think is funny, I'll go,
What was that, Andy?
Yeah,
he'll be doing it on trips and not even on. Like I'm in the room and I just hear him talking to Andy.
Yeah, it's like it's a way to kind of drive away the embarrassment and the attention away from
we can
it.
We can take a side trip real quick just for how much Nick is infected.
I embrace her baby that way all the time.
She uses the Nick voice to talk to Benjamin, and then we'll do it together. What was I text you while we were at the farmer's market? She said something the other day. And then again, the other one, like this, I shit you not, guys. And this is, I feel like something kind of funny. Best friends, the trogs out there, they all understand and probably are in the same boat. We're sitting there having a serious conversation about our son the other day, and it was something about like you know changing diapers, diaper cream, and you know his private area. And I kept saying a word, and I kept saying a word, and eventually Jen goes, what is that word you're saying? And I realized I had been dropping in Pishalik. Yeah. And I was like, oh, Pishalik. It's what Nick's grandmother calls his penis.
Little Pishalik.
Well, how did I not know this?
My grandma used to call my little Pishalik, which
Nicky, wash your Pishalik, if I remember, was the story. And then, Grandma, I got to go Kiki.
I know. I know the Kiki thing. I didn't know Pishalik. What the hell?
Pishalik, which I think comes from the Italian word pesce, which like pesciolini, Pishalik, like little fish, I think might be where that comes from. But I'm in chat, if anyone speaks Italian in the live chat right now, let us know. But I think that's where it used to come from, which if you think about it like that, Andy, referring to your grandson's penis as a little tiny fish might be the most demoralizing thing ever. But that's
but he's a baby. You were a baby.
You were 28 years old.
I was 13
years old.
That'll do it then. Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. That was the last thing you did. But what was the word that she said? Hold on.
You can keep looking. I still haven't given Andy's introduction, so I'll tell you, of course, that's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. Globe trotting, head shot, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Earlier when I made a John Bernthal joke.
Yeah, what movie were you thinking of?
John Bernthal was on the mind because about 17 minutes ago when Nick mentioned that he was wearing thermal, I was going to say Bernthal is a palindrome for thermal.
That would have got me, Andy. That would have got me.
And it's not. But then...
But you would have had us all think. It's just the B that throws it, but yeah.
The opportunity never arose to bring up Bernthal again until the movie line. And that's what... You got to work with what you got. You know what I mean? Like, we're always
what, Andy?
Just...
That got me, too.
We're always zip-zapping and bopping in, Tim. We're always zip-zapping and bopping in.
We zip-zap and bop on the Company podcast. Bernthal. Mm-hmm. Nick, what do you got there? I see you listening to your phone.
Yeah, it wasn't a text message. You sent me a voicemail because you're because you got it. Your hands were busy. But Jen said, "Chill, chill."
I got a little chill, chill. Like,
you know, chill, chill. She thinks of you. Yeah.
You said something else in response, but for some reason, I don't know how to rewind voice memos. There it is.
It's just the way your little Nickism says infected everybody, including the fifth member of the podcast, my wife, Genevieve Saint-Ange.
My wife.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm at lunch right now.
Papa Jen will never know.
He'll never find out.
He'll never understand what's happening.
Jen, the other day you decided to send me a voice memo.
I did.
Oh, God. To sort of substitute what you assumed was going to be a Greg voice memo, but really Greg is watching a video of Cody Rhodes talking about WrestleMania.
That's correct.
So you decided to, like, I thought you were going to get one. You never got one. So here's one just to make up for it. It was a great change of pace. It was lovely. And also, Jen, you got a future in ASMR.
Oh.
You got a future in ASMR.
Lay some out there. Talk about Pisha Leaks.
I do not want to talk about
all you need is just like doink. You need like a little, like a little can and just like a do a little of that and be like, hello.
Hi, Andy.
It worked out so well. And I was like, oh, and I had headphones. I was like, this is ASMR. She's got a future in this. Yeah. So thanks. Just if Papa Agenda ever, you know, ends up not working out, I know you got big dreams about this company, but it's time to be realistic with ourselves and go to ASMR.
Noted. Duly noted.
Duly noted. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five, best friends gather on this table, each coming to talk about whatever's going on in their lives. If you like that, you should be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do. And you can be watching live, just like Mike L., Lexi G., Madeline Stanley, Gustavo, and so many more are. Of course, if you're watching live, chime in there. Sometimes I see it and I bring you on the show too, or we call you or we yell at you. You know how it is. However, if you have no bucks tossed our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week for a brand spanking new episode. Of course, there's other ways to support on the free side if you want, like using the creator code kindoffunny over on the Epic Game Store or Rocket League, Fortnite, wherever you're playing those games. You can go ahead and enter kindoffunny, all one word, make us a few bucks. Housekeeping for you. Speaking of making us a few bucks, Nick knows every martial art, and now you can too by buying his shirt. You can get the Sensei Scarpino shirt over at kindoffunny.com/store. There's also a very funny commercial made by the one, the only Matt Batson over on twitter.com/kindoffunnyvids. So even if you don't want the amazing shirt, which is amazing,
it's a good shirt.
Sold out on the one kind I want, but Joey says they are working on the restock. That's the one. She says they are working on a restock. Or is it already restocked? Kevin, do they have XL?
Yeah, they have
it. Kevin, order me an XL right now. Order me an XL right now.
That's tricky.
Oof, that's
a pre-order.
It's a pre-order. That's a pre-order thing, Greg.
Big kind of funny thing. You know what I mean?
You get the bonus, though. You get the battle pass with it.
Oh, wow. Do I? Do I get the digital version of the shirt and NFT to put on my characters in every game? Wow.
I like the red version.
I had my phase with baseball tees, and I'm over that. I appreciate anybody else who can wear them and look good in them. For me, I just didn't. I'm just done with it. I'm a short sleeve shirt.
I think they make my chest look weird. Look weird. Yeah. We were just. I was telling you and the podcast about how Jen left me a voice memo.
Yeah.
And yesterday I got sort of another kind of substitution for a voice memo. This is from Greg Miller. This time
laughing.
It wasn't a voice memo. This is just a message of just a memo, you know. And this one was no. This is while I was streaming, so of course all the chat is like, Andy, you got to read Greg's tweet. And I know it's rarely ever important.
No.
If ever, never ever actually. And so I decided to read it, and it goes like this. Mm-hmm. It was April 11th, 2022.
This is a screenshot of a notepad. You know,
a screenshot. Hey, Andy, it's Greg. My throat's a bit sore, and I don't want to lose my voice for the podcast tomorrow, so imagine this is a voice memo. Okay. Do you ever worry that Portillo was my one tether to this antiquated idea of humanity? Mm-hmm. And now that he has moved on, the markers, you mean maker's strings, right?
I sure do.
Yeah. The maker, the maker's strings can no longer contain my power, and I can see all the way to the source wall and the cosmos in between. Like, the light that emanates from each plant is a lie, and that doesn't make the world stronger, but makes me stronger than Zeus or Henry Ford could have ever imagined. This is Greg. And then follows up with another screenshot. I have so many pages in this book, Andy. So many.
My favorite thing about the second screenshot, though, was that the first sentence,
the title,
was in title font. Yeah, it was five times bigger than the other one. He didn't even bother to you know, correct that in the least.
I thought it added to the, you know,
how you
genre
read
I was doing. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. I didn't appreciate Andy's thing because there was like the lie about plants. There was specific capitalizations in that too that really drove home them versus me kind of thing. But from our side of the couch, I want you to know what happened is, yeah, I was not feeling well last night. You know, Benjamin has his first cold, which means I have my first baby cold now.
I'm fine.
Jen's fine, except for when she got sick and threw up on Saturday and woke him up. But I'm the one who get blamed for my poops. I was laying on the couch yesterday, and we were watching The Ultimatum, a terrible trash show that's been getting us through a terrible time right now. And I just started laughing.
And that's always when I know that something is about to happen to Andy.
Yeah.
Like, unmistakably. Yeah. And then I just wait for it. And usually it starts with, hey, Andy. And just like, I'm like, oh no. And he was being very quiet. So that was even more, you know, worrisome.
And it's that thing where I start holding it back because I don't want to ruin the show. And I don't want to seem like I'm not invested in this terrible show to find out what's going to happen to Madeline and Colby. I got to know. But it was that I was tired and exhausted and just emotionally gone. So it was one of those like, extra life giggles where I start the giggle and it ain't stopping. You know what I mean? Then I start giggling because I can't stop giggling kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the knee slap and I'm just having a terrible fucking time.
And I
was
like, share with the class.
Yeah.
What are you talking about about?
But it went over really well, Andy. I want you to know. It played really well here. She didn't catch the maker marker problem. So that's, you know, one strike for my copy editor, but no big deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that with everybody. So.
Appreciate it. I'm also ready to share with everybody that Everything Everywhere All at Once has been reviewed. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. You can get it on the Screencast podcast as well. And of course, thank you to our Patreon producers, Nathan Lamoth, Delaney Twinning, Gordon McGuire, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Fargo Brady, Pranksky, Anonymous. Today we're brought to you by MeUndies and Maple Story, but we'll talk about that later. For now, let's get into what the show was pitched as originally before we talked about poops for how long. What are we
kind of funny?
I can't even tell. Kevin, how? What? 20 minutes. Nice. I need to go off. Yeah. If you didn't know and you haven't seen on social media or anywhere else, Portillo the wiener dog is dead. And I swear I'm not going to cry the entire episode.
He's getting it out of the way.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely not the case. Like, it's going to happen here and there, obviously. But it's just so hard to say. And that's why I wanted to come talk about it so early. You know, Jen and I have both obviously talked about this together. And it's all we've talked about, obviously. He passed on Friday. It was out of the blue, but it was faster than we expected. Like, we had originally planned on putting him down this Friday, so the coming Friday. And we came home on Wednesday. Obviously, he's been declining in health. He's a 16-year-old wiener dog. This happens. This is how it's supposed to go. And so we knew we were getting close, and we knew we'd been getting closer and closer to it. And so, we came home Wednesday, and one of the many porty problems, again, the way Jen described it when we finally turned the corner, was that it's the Mr. Burns, all the germs trying to get through the door, all the diseases trying to get through the door that stop
each other.
They're all
keeping each other in stasis.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And then finally, like, they started tumbling through for Porty, where it was just like dominoes going down. And so, you know, we'd come home Wednesday, and obviously one of the problems he's had forever is his legs. He's a dachshund. That's an issue. And then, of course, he had broken both of his – or blown out both of his knees, torn both of his ACLs in his back, and that's an old thing. And, you know – when we had moved, we had already lived in a place before with hardwood floors, but then moving here, it's the same kind of hardwood floor thing. And he had slipped a bit at the old place, but not as much.
It wasn't that bad, yeah.
Yeah, but here is one of those things where his legs, he kept losing his legs from behind. He started sliding and doing splits.
Which
is
something that they warned us about when we did the ACL surgeries on both legs. Like, they were like, it's just going to be a weakening sort of thing throughout the years, and he's had the surgery, and
he was old as hell. He was already 10 plus. 10? Yeah, 10 plus. Yeah.
This is why I have to wear house slippers.
Exactly. Yeah. Your legs start sliding, you start doing the splits.
Yeah. Do get pet insurance for dogs. Sorry.
So it's just not helpful for the microphone.
I know.
So anyways, though, we came home last Wednesday and he was splayed out, like splits on the ground, and he had clearly been there a while.
Yeah.
When we scooped him back up, we had gone to swim lessons with BJ, and when we scooped him back up, like, the floor was warm, like he had been down a while. And it was just that thing of like, okay, well, we got to push this up.
Yeah. And that was one of the obviously key moments, because he had been having issues eating. Like, I had been hand feeding him.
God bless Jen. Yeah. She had been feeding him by hand for 7 days because he was being such a little bitch about eating certain things.
And we were going through motions of, you know, what to feed him, because he would turn down his usual foods and his like high high quality treats. And then I would just cycle, like, I would meal prep for him. I would do like rice and chicken and carrots, and he liked that. And then the next meal on the same day, he would refuse to eat that. So I would switch over to salmon, and then, you know, like people food, because he didn't want to do his dry food anymore. And then he didn't want to do his wet food, and then his new wet food, and then his old wet food. So like, we were kind of exhausting all the options to keep him fed. He was still drinking water, which was great. Like, that's the last thing you don't want to happen. But the problem it created is that he was taking medication for seizures. And so the second he stops taking his treats, then his seizures come back. And that's not a situation we wanted to put him through. And so he had Cushing's disease. You know, he had...
I don't know if we ever talked about it on the show, but did I ever talk about like his bleeding mouth on the show? I forget.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, no.
We talked about Kevin's bleeding ear.
Yeah, that's right. No, in September, like in the run up to Benjamin, right? He's coming in October. Porty had me take him to the emergency room like 3 times across 3 different weeks. And it was all somewhat tied to the same stuff. But it was like the main was that we had woken up one day and he had blood on his paw and on his bed. And Jen was like, I blood upon the bed. And I looked at him like, maybe he broke a nail at the base. Like, mm-hmm. I think he might have broken a nail at the base because I picked him up the other day and he had caught on a blanket. And so we inspected and looked for it and couldn't find the spot in the blood. And I was like, okay, cool. We'll keep an eye on it. And all day long, no blood, no blood, no blood. Nothing's happening. It's like, okay, maybe it you know, did its thing. Shut up, Echo. Echo, stop. Good Lord. And then that night we went to bed and I woke up at 1 o'clock to Jen just going, don't move. And like my eyes snap open and there's this puddle of blood between us in the bed. And it was, she's like, it's Porty. So we scooped up Porty. We ran to the bathroom. We flipped on the bathroom lights and you're like doing this thing to try to adjust your eyes. And we're searching the paw, and it's because it's got blood on it. Searching the paw, trying to find the cut, and can't find it. And finally I looked in the mirror and Porty was there and his face was just all covered in blood. I was like, Jen, look at his face. And we looked at it and she lifted his lip and all of this blood came out. And so it was like, scooped him up. I guess Benjamin was here, right? Because you had to stay home with him. It was October. Here. It was actually after he was born. So, oh yeah, he went to September because of the
GI issue.
Exactly. That's right. So in September he did go every other week, but that was because he ate a succulent. And then but he eventually pooped out a full succulent.
We didn't know how or why.
And so it's a lot. Yeah. And then this time, yeah, it was, you know, I had Jen say goodbye to him, you know, that like, he might not come back, and ran him to the emergency room, and they came out and they're like, he's not bleeding anymore. It's clearly a dental thing. He has dental disease, clearly, and he won't let us in his mouth. So you have to wait and take him to your real vet. And, you know, you take him to the real vet and they're like, yeah, it's an abscess. Here's an antibiotic. We'll put him on that thing. The antibiotics have to be taken with food, which then goes back to this. Don't worry. I'm so close. I hate this when you're trying to find a photo and you know you're going to get there and you're still struggling for it. But yeah, so that was all compiled on it, right? Of like all these different things that are getting to Porty, where it was like, we knew we were running out of time. And so, yeah, after the thing on, GDC week, I had woken up that Monday and I forget anymore what happened the night before, but it might that he went out a million times. Was that it? And he threw up or something?
Yeah, he had trouble obviously like staying asleep. And then I think his legs were just getting.
Yeah, I remember waking up on GDC Monday and being like, if it wasn't GDC, I bet we'd put him down this week. Yeah. Like, we just were trying to find the right time to do it or whatever.
Which, like, there's never.
Of course a right not. Time. Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, once we got to coming home that Wednesday, it was like, all right, that's all there. And so then Thursday, you know, you guys were nice enough to cover it. We all took the day off or whatever and hung out with him. But even then, like, you know, like we were putting him in a laundry basket and carrying him around and like doing all the stuff so he can do it.
I got it.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to
show you.
That's a little video. I don't know. God.
Okay.
You have to cover Greg's face.
That's good.
And like the scale of it is just like.
I don't know if the thumbs up was appropriate.
No, it's not. It's just because I was very happy for our mattress cover to have. We had just the day before gotten a new mattress, and it was like
interesting.
We just
got a new mattress cover, and I was like, do we need it on here? And now I'm going to double up on that bad boy.
When you bleed through the mouth, yeah, it'll be helpful. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I get punched in the mouth before I come home.
But so we're at a point now where we had said goodbye to him.
So many times. And you've heard the story on the podcast too, obviously. Like when we were still in the old place and we foolishly fed him that T-bone, thinking it would be like how it was when me and Jim Riley did it a decade earlier or whatever. And like, that was the first part I ever said goodbye to him. You know what I mean? Of like, he might not come back from this vet visit. But it turns out that doesn't make it any easier.
No. I mean, I remember, obviously Portillo has been in my life since we started this business and before, because he used to bring
them. You knew about IGN, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just remember the two to three years there where he was Donald Ducking it because he kept having to have surgery on all his legs, and his butt looked like a Tetris because it was just like bald in spots. And I was just like, oh man, this little dude's a trooper. But he was just such a sweet little dude, man. Like, and yeah, there's nothing more that could be said about him. He was literally, there's just those moments where you're around something where you're like, you might be one of the best dogs that I'll ever encounter, to the point where you're almost like, you've got such a personality that you're a human at this point, you know?
Just like pure good time, man. Like that's the thing about Porty that I always thought was so funny. Is like, he's just so funny. Like everything he did was funny and just like makes you laugh and smile and shit. It's just like literally there's never been a picture of him where he doesn't look like a doofus. And it's just like that energy is just something that you can't, it's a cartoon character come to life. Like, I feel like the cartoon images of Porty are less cartoonish than the dog itself, you know?
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where like you look back at all the pictures that Greg, you know, it was awesome that you shared all those and it was nice to go through. And I'll be honest with you, when you put that through, I cried a little bit that first day where you're like, today's the day. Cause I was like, I didn't realize how much that was going to affect me. Cause you know, I'm fucking made of steel, whatever.
Of course, man.
You can't break steel. But he really was like the perfect, in my opinion, like mascot for us. Yeah, the picture that I'll always have is like the last picture of him, and I know it probably wasn't, but it's the one that you posted a lot, which was him with the whatever the fuck Kevin calls those things that go on
Zarf.
Yeah, the Zarfs, the upside down Zarf with the crown written on it. He was our king. He was the perfect mascot for Kind of Funny. Kind of clueless, adorable, completely innocent, and just made every room he was in better just for having been in it. And that was
just a little stinky.
A little stinky.
Yeah.
And kind of falling apart all the time.
Exactly.
Kind of a little.
Let me tell you, the stink factor definitely amped up in the 2 years since you guys got to be around him every day.
It's the mouth, man.
That mouth, yes.
Yeah.
Tim, you're going.
One of the many things that broke me seeing it was the amount of people referring to him as the first best friend.
Yeah.
Aww. Like that. It's so powerful, you know, like that. Yeah. And I buy that too, you know, like that is the relationship that you, Greg, had with Portillo, like, was so clear. And I think that it's not silly to say, it's like such a great demonstration of what Kind of Funny is about, you know. And your beautiful thing that you run your Instagram, but talking about him being there with you playing video games and all that, it just puts things in context in a way that, like, even though I've known him for so many years now, it's like, it's, you just don't think about certain things sometimes that are so normalized for people, but like,
for sure,
that is the truth. He was with you through all of that, like through every video game, every movie, everything that we talk about in these shows. So much of your life has to do with this little dude that was with you, you know.
What's, you know, in the thing I wrote, you know, I had started writing that in my head a long, long time ago, probably, where I was like, you know, after XX years at my side, blah, blah, and actually wrote it in the emergency room parking lot, because, of course, it is still a global pandemic. So in September, when I took him in, or when the teeth thing happened, I took him in, like, I wrote it in the parking lot while I had to wait for him and find out what was going to happen to him, or started writing it. Mm-hmm. And it is such a crazy thing to think about. One of the first things I put in there was, he's made you smile in one of the dozens of videos he's been in. And it was one of those where I kept iterating on it and coming back to it here or there. And then when we get closer, I'd write a little bit more about it. And then it was that thing of like having my own realization to stop downplaying it and change it to hundreds of videos. Cause like for every Colin and Greg live, he was in my lap, right? Everything from the studio, every games cat, or did I say the studio, everything from the spare bedroom, he was in my lap for, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's been in all of these different things and all of these different, in every Let's Play, you know what I mean? Like, again, this is gonna be an emotional roller coaster of a podcast. We're both good, you know what I mean? Well, you know,
as overall, best we can be.
Yeah, I'm sad, right? I miss my dog. I miss my best friend, you know what I mean? Like, that's always here. I've never been in this much pain. I've never been this depressed, but I'm okay. Like, don't worry, everything's okay. But like, you know, one of the things that has just been so crazy about all this is like anything I could want of him or from him, I have, you know, outside of being able to pet him or hold him again, where it's like, I wished, you know, I was sitting there. It's like, oh man, I should have taken more. I should have had people take photos of me with him playing video games. Like, I had that thought. And then I was like, oh no, like, the first year of Kinda Funny Games, every Let's Play I'm in, he's at my side. Like, I don't have to worry about that, right? And it's the same thing of, like, you know, even more recently, like, at the very end there, like, you know, one of the sounds of the house is him walking and clicking and clacking his nails and paws hitting the hardwood and hitting the tile floors. And, you know, I made a comment about that on his, like, last day and, like, last hours. And Jen was like, film it. And so, like, I've watched that video, just him walking through the house, you know, hanging out. And so we're so lucky to have all that. But then it's also the thing of in the post, right? And I've said it for years. I think I said it even, like, maybe towards the end of IGN when you started wrestling with the fact that I started wrestling the fact that, you know, we had a platform or something or had an audience or something. And I always said since then, in definitely through Kinda Funny, right, of, like, one of the silver linings to him eventually passing would be the fact that I knew we wouldn't be alone in our grief. It would be the fact that I knew, you know, hundreds, thousands, and this changes obviously you go through the years, would be so greatly affected by it. And again, and we'll talk about grief a lot, I think, in a bit, maybe even really soon. But, like, in the same way I think I was naive about the impact of that, I was naive about the actual thousands of people who would be affected by it. Like, you know, since we said something on Friday, since we announced on Friday, like, it's been outrageous, you know, in the best possible way, the amount of people who have reached out through all different means in a way that I'll never be able to respond. I can't, you know, respond to Instagram comments, tweets. You know, I went back and watched the Twitch stream where it happened live, where people started, you know, waking up to the fact that Porty was gone and stuff like that. And, you know, the donations and the flowers and the emails and the, like, it's overwhelming, but it's also, like, so touching that he did make such an impact, right? We said yesterday, one of the things we're talking about, right, of, like, such a small dog has left such a big wake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it affected so many people's lives. And that's so special. And I think it speaks to how special he was.
I spent a bunch of hours this weekend trying to scour through footage because I know we have footage of this and I just can't fucking find it. But at Kind of Funny Live 2, which was the one that we had, the catwalk, like, there's a clip of Porty walking down the catwalk alone and thousands of people fucking losing their minds. Yeah. And I need to find that clip so bad because it was just, like, such a perfect moment. But what I did find, and I posted it, was just clips of him chilling at the table at the meet and greet. And, like, yeah, just how stoked people were to meet him, you know, and, like, there's footage of people just walking up and petting him and stuff. And I just loved it. Like, he's one of us, you know, like, he was literally just at the table with us and was there so many different times. And, like, all of that's just such great memories.
Yeah, that was me. I was one of those people that was, like, I had met you all before at other events, but that was my first time meeting Porty. And, like, I took a photo and sent a picture to my friends back home. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm with Portillo right now. Like, this is it's something I just never thought would have happened, because obviously meeting you all at events is a more natural thing. I just never thought I'd meet him. Yeah, that day was when we were doing the live stream. It was interesting because it's like we knew that we had to kind of be strong for Greg on that live stream.
Sure.
And so, like, the grief didn't really set in until I started reading all those tweets afterwards, like, late at night. And through that stream, I feel like I was totally fine. I was just like, this is, you know, it absolutely sucks. Send the love out. And, like, it hadn't really hit me yet until that night, until reading all those tweets and reading all those and seeing all the photos and everything. And, man, it was like it was a good breakdown.
Yeah. I mean, even for us, I think we were writing on the same day, on the day of, we were riding the wave of duty. You know, we had to take care of him
right,
by making the right choice. And we called those amazing people in the Bay Area called A Gentle Rest. Right?
Yeah, A Gentle Rest.
Obviously.
We have a letter upstairs from them. We haven't been strong enough to open today.
Yeah. And so essentially a vet comes to your house and, you know, you can say goodbye in the most comfortable setting for your pet. And, like, that's just such an amazing service that you can, if you have obviously, like, the desire to do that, that you can do. And
because, yeah, Porty hated the vet.
He hated the
Porty vet. Would flip the fuck out to go to the vet. So, like, you know, and not to
every
mention
time
again,
he comes back, he doesn't have ass hair.
I hated it too.
If every time I went out, I came back, what happened? My ball hair.
But yeah, on the day of, I mean, we were devastated, obviously, and it was like physically and emotionally extremely challenging in the moment of things happening. And, you know, they give you a lot of space and they wait for your call whenever you're as ready as you can be, and it works in steps. But then we went out for lunch wanting to celebrate him. But I think, again, we were riding so high on this is happening and we're just in action mode. And then when we on the drive home, we just were dead silent, both of us, because it was finally kicking in, you know?
Yeah, it was, you know, the realization, right? Because we were the same. It was, you know, I'm very much Band-Aid off guy. I said that to the vet when we were there, right? Because, like,
I was like, are you sure? Are you sure?
Time. But, like, getting to that morning, the hours kept flying by to get to the vet being there. And then the vet was there, and then it was super great about giving us time and all this stuff and yeah, blah, blah. And so, like, once we walked the vet and Porty out and came back down, you know, obviously we had to sit down and cry outside and, you know, the sun, like Porty likes or whatever, and then put up the post or whatever. Because, again, like, for me, one of the things in the build up to it was wanting to share, like, you know, not wanting, and it sounds weird to drop a grief bomb on you, but like to wanting to share that with the world, because I knew the reaction would be there. And it was so isolating not having other people in the know, in the moment, have that same feel. You know, people are, you know, just doing normal things, normal emails and normal tweets.
I think you also felt responsible to tell people who cared about him.
Sure, like, sure.
Having that contained inside was just eating.
But once we sat down and, like, it was done and it was over, and then we tweeted and, you know, sat there and you know, started looking responsive and looked at each other, that we had that moment of, like, I feel at peace. I feel this is peaceful. Obviously, we're sad and we cried and stuff, but I was like, this is peace. Yeah, okay. Let's get it together and go have lunch and celebrate him. And then on the way home was the realization of, like, you're coming home without him. Like, he's not going to be here. He's not going to be in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Like,
and the way we, or the place we live at works, is we come down a set of stairs and it's like our kitchen door, and we always in plain sight, you know, waiting to...
Well, usually dead asleep until you wake up, because he's so old now. There for us, but he's waiting for us. Yeah. And so, like, coming into that, like, oh shit. And then it's been like, you know, everything since then has been, oh shit, right? Like, he's small, not here for that. Yeah.
It's outrageous how it's all the small gestures that make what your routine is like. Because with Porty, obviously, for the last 5 years, we were giving him medication.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 times a day. And so it's those small gestures, or, you know, we have an alarm system, and that in the early, when we would walk him 3 times a night because he would wake up every 2 hours to go outside for the last couple of years, maybe year and a half, we would turn it off. So, like, we would find ourselves triggering the system because we had not been outside.
Yeah, we're actually leaving the house. And then, a reasonable hour, and it's like, oh yeah, nobody's been outside yet, nobody's done anything.
And if Porty was really good at something, is telling time. Like, he knew exactly when his medication was due, and he was like, hey, I need my pill, and then I need my meal. And so losing those anchor points in the day was way more difficult than I anticipated, because we would just find ourselves standing in random areas of the house, like broken Sims. Like, we lost kind of what the thing we were going to mindlessly do, but your brain is still on that train of thought every day. And it's been that. And the most significant thing for me, and I know we've been talking obviously about this for the last 4 days uninterrupted, just crying to each other. And it's the silence in the house. Not that he was an extremely loud dog, you know, but it's just he made little noises, and, like, he would walk around and his little tippy tap on the floor, and he had a large presence for, like, a very small creature, and it's all the combination of those things that's been really difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it starts to, you know, get into the grief topic, you know what I mean, of, like, I haven't grieved anything as an adult, and I guess relationships would be it, right? You know, previous relationships, but, you know, in terms of death, like, my family isn't the closest family, and so, like, your grandparents would be the last real hallmark of that. And we lost Graham Miller and I was in high school, I think a freshman. So like still a kid, you know what I mean? Still very much at home, still not having to worry about that. So to get here and like lose this guy who's been my sole priority, as I say in the video, by the way, awesome video from Roger. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we know Roger's amazing in a class act, but like literally last month, maybe 2 months ago now, I don't remember. I hit him up and like, hey, it's not going to be long. Like I'm going to do my own post, but I would think Kinda Funny should do something unless I'm totally wrong. He's like, no, we should. I was like, all right, just put on your radar. And literally like the next day, he's like, when you're ready here, I'm like, holy shit. Like, you know what I mean? He turned and cranked it out that way and then took notes and did stuff. But in the video, you know, it's an old conversation with Colin clip where I'm like, my only real priority in the world is taking care of this guy, like getting home to him or whatever. And so like the grief comes in waves, but then I kept talking about it being like throughout the weekend, right? That I understand and know about fight or flight, where you get that surge of adrenaline, you know, you're going to fight or you're going to go. And we know from talking to so many people and talking about it ourselves, right? Anxiety is that misplaced adrenaline. That's where people get set off and do all that stuff. And so with the grief thing, I would find myself at random points just spiking and flipping out because like every fiber of my being is telling me to do something for him. And there's nothing to do anymore. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, it's the most fucked up, like, mission accomplished of all time, where it's like the goal was to take care of him and keep him alive. And we did it for nearly 17 years. He would have been 17 this summer. October, it would have been our 17th anniversary together. But like, we did it. We accomplished it. But at the end, there's no like finale for it. It's done and my body still thinks I need to. And so I still flip out about it. You still wake up in the bed, you know, in the middle of the night or the morning, and it's like you look for him or you don't want to kick him or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you got to be on the lookout for him or something like that. Or, you know, like when I walk into the kitchen, still you turn that corner, you look for him. Or, you know what, two nights ago we were bathing Ben and like, you know, I look behind me because usually Porty would walk over and say, hey, what we're doing is not there. And it's like those little things that are like, ah, fuck, you know what I mean? And it's so intense, like for real. Like I think that it was interesting when I started tweeting about it, or, you know, Instagramming more about it. And I know I Instagrammed a lot about it, but people like, you know, our friend Susan Eisberg, Wonder Woman in Justice League, the cartoon, when I was saying like, I'm going to post more about this, she was like, yes, you should. Like, you know, she's a big dog person. She's like, you know, you should share what's happening internally, but also so people understand. And like, I didn't understand. Like, I, you know, I've lost pets again, but they were like, I was a child. They were my cats, but they were family cats. It wasn't like, again, my sole priority. And so like I've heard and talked to friends who have lost animals in like, you know, as adults or whatever, and they've talked about how strong and how much it hurt, and you're like, oh my god, yeah, blah blah blah. But like nothing prepared me for how bad this has hurt. Like, I mean, like literally, and again, we're fine, this is just the grief talking, and I'm talking about literally synapses that fire but aren't real thoughts or whatever. But like those moments of like, man, I'd rather be dead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you immediately go, whoa, that's not what I think. That's not how I feel. But like, you have that flash of just like the pain you're in, right? And trying to deal with the finality of never getting to like, hug him again or kiss him again or smell him again.
Like, and it sounds crazy, but it's like, I would never have imagined that height of an emotion. And
100%.
We were both just like, huh, shit fucking sucks. Like, I don't know how we can go about our day. And the only thing that's kept us going is Ben, because like he's a baby. he needs things every minute of the day. And he, like, thank God, honestly, because we would just, I don't know, we would have just laid down in the dark.
And I mean, that's the most fucked up thing about it, where it's like Saturday and Sunday, you guys know, you do this with us and you do a million things and have lives too. But like, I've said it before and talked about it before, but like, you know, the way our lives work are, it's always the next thing. It's always the next thing. It's always the next thing. And I think time just goes through our hands like sand, man. It just goes so fucking, to sit here, like, you know, not morbidly, but just a marker, like, you know, Porty got put down on Ben's 6 month birthday. Like, the fact that we've had Benjamin for 6 months is ridiculous. To see how big that kid is and how much he's changed, how much he's grown already is ridiculous. But Saturday and Sunday were the slowest days of my life.
Yeah.
Where like at 2 o'clock, Jen turned to me. She's like, I just want to go to bed. I want to get to going to bed. And I'm like, oh my God, I've looked at the watch so many times today, because all we had was each other, which is great. Like, don't get me wrong. And like, we've said multiple times, we can't do this without each other. And we keep saying that the others, I gotta die first. You know what I mean? I can't, I don't want to do
this.
We
were making too many murder suicide jokes, and then somebody delivered something.
The windows were open as we were making murder suicide jokes.
Like, they're gonna call the police.
But, like, you know, it's just this like ridiculous living hell of this weekend that it's been. And of course, it's COVID. And of course, we were already sick. Like, we were supposed to go to a friend's baby shower or whatever. But, like, with Ben being sick, it was like, well, let's not try it. Then Jen got food poisoning. Then I caught Ben's cold. Then Ben kicked a glass into Jen's teeth and chipped her tooth. It's just like, it was like all these things, but like we were like trapped here where we just couldn't get out, and it was like all we could do was do this. So it'd just be this weird ass cycle of watching The Ultimatum, taking care of Benjamin, and then just bursting into tears
and then laughing.
Yeah,
stop,
because it's flare-ups. It's the craziest thing. And that's again where I can't really talk about grief. What I can do is personify grief. Kevin, can you put up the image I sent you?
Oh my God.
Not the video I sent you. I sent this, Nick.
For context, I wanted to take...
I'll give the context once it's up. Or you can give once it's up. Like, okay. Kevin. All right, there you go. Give the context.
I'm standing in the kitchen, and it's through a window. I wanted to take this beautiful photo of Greg holding 40, and I accidentally captured him a quarter of a second away from a total meltdown.
This is Porty at sunset on his final sunset. Like, again, Porty loves being in the sun. Like, that's what he, like, you know, food, sunbathing, and then the big bed that he slept in with us were like the three things he really fucking dug. So this final time I walked him out there, and I was like, I took him out for, you know, bathroom break, but then lifted him up to put him in the sun. And like, this is me. Now, I don't even know if I noticed Jen was taking the photo yet, but like, this is me, like, obviously, this is me grief fucking stricken Thursday night. This is me losing my shit. And then Kevin,
you just saved him from a lion attack. Yeah.
I look like fucked up Ben Affleck. And then, Kevin, I sent you, it turned out to be a live video, and the live video is even funnier of me fucking losing my mind. Go ahead.
We can laugh about it now.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, that's Thursday night. You can imagine, you know, Friday not having him, and honestly Saturday, where I tweeted like, this is so much worse. Like, Saturday was so much fucking worse to wake up to and not have him all day long and try to do it. And it's up and down, where yesterday I felt better.
Yeah,
I didn't yesterday was great because of work.
Yeah,
like waking up, coming down here, I was already behind on KFW stuff, so I was into WWE 2K22, made a bunch of stuff, then started streaming with Mike. Then it was, you know, a normalish day. I played something for review, then went upstairs and like da da da, and then I was sick and went to bed early. And then today has been funk fucking city, where I not even the sick part of it, like, it's just that, you know, sore throat or whatever, but I haven't been sick in 3 years. But it's like, in general, like, just crying down here at my desk. You know what I mean? Because it's been a slower day, not being on Games Daily and just getting ready for this. And then again, like, you know, just wanted to see him, just missing him. It sucks, man.
Yeah, it's been really hard.
Do you think this would be easier if Ben was a little bit older?
No, fuck no. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's opposite. Andy, there are so many times we have said, thank God Ben isn't cognizant of this. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice right now to be holding him and whatever and have a breakdown, and then he laughs at us. And then we obviously, and again, these like breakdowns are similar to what you're seeing here, right? Where it's like, I sob for a couple seconds, you know what I mean? And then it's right back to laughing about the fact that we were in the middle of whatever and I started crying, and then we get back to whatever you're doing. But like, if he was crying, if he was sad, if we were trying to explain death to him and all these things, man, no thanks. I'm not ready for that. And it's, you know, I'm glad he doesn't understand what's going on. Yeah. I like that he's a reprieve from it. I like that he's doing his thing.
Yeah, and he's not at the stage yet where he actually reads emotions super well in adults. So I really appreciate that, because he does think we're being really funny with the sounds that we make and the faces that we make.
I guess I meant more from the aspect that, like, that he could converse with you all and it wouldn't just be two people grieving and communicating. It would be three people communicating. Because obviously, like, he might get to an age where you have to teach him what death is. But I think if he were to be enough of a distraction to kind of, like, talk to about whatever is happening in the little guy's life, that might be a bit of an easier thing to kind of keep your mind off of things. Because, again, I thought you were totally great. Today's Tuesday? This Tuesday. Yeah, yesterday during Kind of Funny Wrestling. Like, because the distraction is there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he would have so many questions about it. They keep coming around.
I think it's also the change of environment, where we, you know, lived the last couple of days upstairs. Well, the office is downstairs, right? And so Porty didn't really hang out down here ever because it's so cold and he hated it. And so no matter the distractions upstairs, there's all those reminders all the time. So I think that's why work is especially helpful and we're doing so much better when we're dialed in. And I think yesterday, yeah, that made a significant difference
for sure
for you.
Well, it's funny that you bring up reminders because this is my time to remind you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, at patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could be watching live and crying with us just like Timothy is, Alexander is, and Slacks are. And you could also get the show without any ads. You could write in to be part of it. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do. But guess what, Jack? You're not on Patreon. So here's a word from our sponsors.
Shout out to MapleStory for sponsoring this episode. After 17 years of rich MMO gameplay wrapped in a unique 2D side-scroller, MapleStory is ready to proudly lean into its cute, pixelated aesthetic. The aggressively cute campaign aims to showcase the unexpected juxtaposition of cuddly, smiley characters with rich, multi-layered MMO gameplay. The campaign focuses on telling a story of immense character customization, a vast array of weapons and mounts to choose from, a seemingly endless horizon of lands to explore and battle, all while dealing huge amounts of damage to monsters of all shapes and sizes. I know a lot of people out there love MapleStory, so hey, come check out this armed and adorable campaign. This is your world. With over 40 classes and thousands of cosmetic customization options, you can play how you want, and there's just so much good stuff. 18 years of content, no signs of slowing, means you'll never get bored. You can go to maplestory.nexon.net. That's maplestory.nexon.net for more, or you can just click the link in the description. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. I love MeUndies. You guys have heard me talk about MeUndies for years at this point. I'm always wearing the MeUndies shirt, the MeUndies lounge pants, the MeUndies undies, the MeUndies socks. I can go on and on and on. If MeUndies putting out a product, chances are Tim Geddes is wearing them. The MeUndies membership is literally designed to make your life easier with free shipping and returns on every order, savings on virtually everything they make, exclusive sales, and early access to their newest stuff. There's kind of no reason not to join. Get super soft undies, bralettes, or socks shipped directly to your door and live a more comfortable life knowing you always have what you need at your fingertips when you step out of the shower. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you. Any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off. For a limited time, if you sign up for their free-to-join MeUndies membership, you can get 25% off your first membership item. To get 25% off your first membership item or 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
All right, we're back. That was a great transition. I won't get credit.
Segway.
You know what I mean? Right. You got to do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I command your professionalism.
Let me tell you, you know, the taking care of the dog, even after death, not cheap. I got to pay the bills around here. All right? I got to get on this.
And those bills, like, I mean, it's never, we're never going to care about how much money we poured into this dog. But I was doing the math in my head this morning in the shower.
It's a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when we looked up how much it would be to clone him? We spent more than that.
Yeah, of course we did. But that's over 16 years.
You amortize that per day. You're talking maybe a couple bucks per day. It's less than I spend.
For 10 cents a day, you can have your own wiener dog that has a wealth of problems that goes and does all these different things.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, right, there's all dogs have that eventually. Like, these little dudes, most of them don't live past, you know, a certain period of time. And, you know, thank God we have modern medicine that can extend their life and make the quality of life better. But, you know, I remember the last dog I raised and then I moved out. My parents kept was Max, and he just turned a corner one day where he just couldn't use his hind legs anymore. Mm. And he was on so many pain meds that he was just beyond. He couldn't comprehend what was going on. And he would like nip at people's hands because he wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like, yeah, we could have done stuff probably to alleviate, you know, extend it a few more months, but who are you doing that for? You know,
that's always the question. Yeah, that's the conversation we kept having, because as the responsible adult, you have to make the decision on where is the line for quality of life. And of course, like, we call the vet for whatever issue that pops up. And we try to make sure that we're not pushing him too far in terms of health, like issues or recovery. And so,
because, you know, obviously they can't talk to you, right? They can't be like, hey, it's time. You have to just kind of judge based on how they are.
Exactly. And so we had a list of things.
Oh, yeah. And quality of life was always a top concern. And again, like, what I keep coming back to, right, is one of the crazy things about the grief is that I wish there was somewhere to point it. I wish that I could be mad. I wish, and this all at times, I wish that I could be mad. I wish that there was somebody who caused this. I wish that you could sit there and say he was taken too soon. Everything about this dog's life went exactly how I would have wanted it to go. You know what I mean? Like, he lived a happy, healthy life. You know, we knew he was going to go. We took him and he passed on without any pain. Like, before, he was in immense pain. Yeah, he was sore the day before with the legs giving out, but like, it wasn't that his hind legs didn't work anymore. It wasn't that he fell out of bed and broke a leg or a rib and punctured something and I rushed him to the ER in immense, you know what I mean? Like, everything went well. That last Thursday was a perfect day. You know, Lucy came over because, of course, you know, she's Ben's godmother, but she's also like family to us after living with her and living through the pandemic and her taking care of Porty and all these things. Like, you know, the final day, you know, that Thursday, right? Like, we FaceTime Steimer in Germany, right? Like, you know, Christine obviously took care of Porty for so long. Like, you know, like, we got to say goodbye. Everybody got to say goodbye. You know, it didn't come out of the blue. It didn't rob anybody of time. It didn't do any things. And like, again, it's all perfect. And again, like, the grief of it, right? Like, so many times I'm sad. I'm so sad and I'm so fucked up and I'm not myself and yada, yada, yada. I'm just a big grump making carnitas upstairs. But like, it's that thing of, one of the things that grounds me in it is like, well, if you could tell me right now, you could take away the pain and I wouldn't feel it anymore, but it means I didn't get those 16 years with Porty. I'd be like, oh, of course not. Like, of course I'll keep going here. Of course I'll power through this and keep going. It's temporary and it, you know, gets better. Like, it usually, every morning I've woken up and been like, it's better. And then I get an avalanche of pain and crying, but it's not, you know, devastating to the point that I can't do anything. Yeah. I don't know.
We've identified the peak crying hours to be 7 to 12, and then we have lunch.
And then
from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., it's the void. And then 5 p.m. onwards, we just stare into the distance.
Like, watch that ultimatum. See what's up.
Yeah, I mean, eventually the
I got to look up what the fuck. What the fuck is this ultimatum?
So the ultimatum, Andy, is this. Did you watch the other show?
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind. Did you watch Love is Blind?
No, of course not. No.
Oh, dude, it's great trash television. You should watch season one. I liked it more than season two. But at the end of season two, Nick and Vanessa Lachey announced that they're doing yet another show because they host that show. And it's called The Ultimatum. And so what happens is, Andy, all these different couples show up, and in them, one of the people in the couple has given the ultimatum, either marry me or end this relationship.
Oh, wow.
And so what they do, Andy, is they put them all into one apartment complex. They have them date each other. Then the couples recouple with somebody else for 3 weeks. Then they couple back with their original person for 3 weeks. And then they make the decision, am I going to do the ultimatum or am I going to go somewhere else? And let me tell you, it, like, Love is Blind is actually, I think, at times heartwarming.
Yeah.
And actually, like, oh man, these are good relationships and good people. No one is in a good relationship or even that much of a good person in Ultimatum, but it's great trash television. Because, like, literally, I think it was Thursday night where I was like, let's just put on garbage. Like, I don't have any to watch a movie or play a game right now. I'm not mentally there. And this has been perfect for it because I get to tune out for 30 minutes and come back and be like, all right, Colby sucks. Got it. We're all right.
It just seemed like Ultimatum would pop up after The Rookie with Nathan Fillion. Like, it just seems like a
sure.
It seems like an action kind of 24 like show, you know.
Now, Madeline Stanley in the live chat said there's no way any of the couples survived the ultimatum, lol. I guarantee the finale is on Wednesday. Let me tell you, we got into it not realizing there was going to be a cliffhanger. We're pretty pissed, but the finale is going to be Wednesday. And yeah, even though there's definitely going to be one of them that gets married, at least one of them gets married, says they're going to get married. They ain't making it.
I mean, there's this one couple at the beginning.
Oh, Alexis, get out of here. That was
Alexis and Hunter.
Alexis and Hunter, not our Alexis and Hunter, but don't worry about it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to make it either.
Anyway, grief.
Anyways, Porty's dead.
Oh my God. We get to laugh about it.
I made a bunch of jokes about it yesterday. Andy wouldn't admit. I kept saying my dog was dead. Andy, won't you admit that I'm faster than you in America? He wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't let him, Tim. I wouldn't let him win.
I respect
you. Know, I've been on a lot of podcasts with you, Greg, over
sure.
my
with
years.
Porty, and,
like, and many, many with Porty. And, like, you know, we've talked about so many things and been through so many ups and downs. So many ups, so many, many, many ups. And, you know, a couple downs here and there. But, like, this is the first podcast that this is a different type of hard for me. Like, I'm trying my best to just be cool and not cry and stuff and just stick through it. Like, I'm sitting here, like, scratching my skin. Like,
we'll just cry.
I know. No. Well, I've done that. I've done that.
I know.
A lot.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
And it's extra hard for me because you don't want to make it about you or whatever. And it's not about me, obviously, with this. But like, I have been crying so much the last couple days just because I care so much about you and how hard this is for you, and like knowing how hard it is for you, that it's just it's a new like level of this grief and stuff that you're talking about, that like I, similar to you, have not dealt with losing many things close to me in my adult life. Like when I was young, I lost my grandma, I've lost people, Kevin's father for sure, like people that were very, very, very close to me. But in my adult life, that hasn't really been the case until like 2 years ago when I lost my mom to dementia. She's still alive, but she's gone. And I've had to deal with that and learn to deal with that. I still have to deal with that like every single day. Mm-hmm. And it never gets easier. It just kind of is something I'm just kind of like reminded of constantly when I get a phone call from her, and it's not her, but I need to talk to her. And that's so hard. But my kryptonite, I'm emotional. I cry a lot, and I'm proud of that. I'm okay with that. Like, I have nothing to hide from that. But my kryptonite is dog movies. Like, I just can't do it. I've never could. And like, I've never been able to deal with that stuff. And because it's such a choice to bring these people, oh, sure, these little guys into your life and like care for them. And you don't need to, you could just not do that, you know? And I've joked for a million years, and if you listen to the podcast, I've always said, I'm never getting a dog. And it's not because I don't love dogs. It's because I can't fathom this concept of losing them. And especially now, you guys know I've lost that war twice. And like,
did you lose the war the second time?
The second time, I feel like you were participating in the opposing force. You were the aggressor.
I was like, what? That's the thing that I'm saying, is like, it's not a war against G, it's a war against me, right? Yeah. Like, it's just letting in this love and allowing yourself to feel this way. And like, I've always loved 40, and now I just love him so much more because I've allowed my heart to let that type of love in. And I just keep thinking about you, man. Like, I just keep thinking about how hard this is for you. And I just feel so, so bad for you. And I know that you gave him such a good life. I saw someone in the chat say that you platinum 40, and I love that. Like, that's fair. You did everything you could. And it's just, this has been so much harder for me than I could have ever imagined. And I hate even saying that, putting that out in the world, but it just, I just really love you, Greg. I really do. And like, you are such a good dad to him. And Jen, I love you too. You know, I got it out. I just really had to say that.
I appreciate it. I'm proud of you. And I feel you, and I understand that. And yeah, never, you know, I understand that. And I don't, it's one of the not rough things about it, but like, you know, Jen is Portillo's mother. And I've always said, since we got together and I saw them together and how they are, that it turns out, you know, my role was to get him to her. And so for the, I feel like I unwind more in the past 4 days than Jen does. And she grabs me and holds me and tells me everything's going to be all right. And I mean, we'll get to, I guess, you know, our connection and how yet another horribly traumatic incident has brought us even closer together than we thought possible. But there is this thing she'll occasionally say when she unravels a bit of just like, this hurts so much for me, I can't imagine it for you because you had more time with him. And I hate that because I just don't feel like that's what it is. And I know it's just something you're saying in the moment. Don't get me wrong. Like,
fuck you.
Well, it's like, you know, the other thing is, if you were having a conversation and I said something self-deprecating or painful and you were like, but it's not like that, you know, I would go, oh, I know. What we've found in this is that when I'm completely fucking gone sobbing, I can't have the nuance to I know, so it almost sounds like I'm yelling. I'm like, I know, and I'm like, and like I've come out of it so many times, be like, I'm not you. She's like, no, I get where you're at or whatever. But it is that thing of like,
we just started saying it. I know.
Porty has been, you know, so powerful to everybody. Like, I don't think it is a, you know, this, that, or how much you've been around.
That's true, but like, I don't want you to minimize how central to your identity and your soul he was.
Sure, right? Of course, like, I never would. Yeah.
There wasn't a Greg Miller without Porty.
Yeah, you know?
It's like,
no, I've talked about that right with you throughout this. Of course, like, you know, he wasn't my dog; he was another appendage. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if there was going to be a Greg Miller action figure over the last 16 years, there would have been a Porty packed in with the box. Like, that's how we were. And it's also, you know, that gets to the whole thing too of like, you know, one of the things that's so hard when I, where at moments, not all the time obviously, but at moments when I talk about it, right, is like, one day we'll get another dog for sure, but like, and I don't mean, I stick with me, that dog will never be Porty, obviously, in personality or anything like that, but that dog will never have Porty's life, where it's like, the next dog we get will be a family dog. The way I just described my family pets, right? Like, the next dog we get will be our dog, all three of us, and probably, you know, be Ben's best friend and all these different things. The synopsis, the TLDR, right? That dog is never going to go to Let's Play Spring Break with me. That dog is never going to go to RTX with me, and you're never going to be on a Kind of Funny stage probably and do all these different things, right? And it's like, when I remember when I said that recently, you're like, no, Ben will.
Yeah.
And that was a cool moment. You know what I mean? Of like, but it was also a light bulb.
And then
of like,
we also set him up for a heartbreak.
When Ben doesn't want to do anything video game related. No, it was.
No, when his dog passes.
Oh, sure. But it was more the thing of like, you know, on the times, the first time we went to I took Jen to the new studio. And this is what, when we didn't have any countertops or any appliances or whatever, but it was our first time seeing it with some walls up. And Jen, you know, flipped out and kept getting goosebumps and saying, but one thing she said is like, one day, you know, Ben's gonna come in here and around that corner and run up to you and be on set with you.
He's gonna run to Nick and he's gonna be like, Uncle Mickey,
Kiki. But no, it was more the fact that like,
for that now,
Ben, so, yeah. Ben's gonna run in there and be with me on set and yada yada yada. And I never thought about Porty doing that, you know what I mean? It's like, probably because I knew, but also just, I mean, he can't, you know what I mean? Like, he's a physical.
We knew. That's the thing. Like, it's been a roller coaster because we've been looking at photos and like the memories that you have of him that are the most substantial are always like the when he was at his best,
peak,
at his peak.
Yeah.
And but it's been really grounding to watch videos and photos of him recently where, you know, he's not walking. We have to carry him. He's not eating and he's losing weight. And like really reminding ourselves that he was there. He was at that point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And so, but yeah, it doesn't make it easier, obviously. But you knew, like we all knew it was difficult.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin, if you want to throw up my Instagram, like the two most recent posts are like the day of. So it's like the final family photo there. And then, yeah, me kissing him here on the bed is right. Like, I think my watch.
It's an hour on the dog.
Yeah, if you go over. Yeah, that's an hour before the vet comes to put him down. But like, that's, you know, what he did. He just laid on the bed till they came or whatever. And then if you go back to the first photo, the family photo, right? Like, it's us outside trying to get some sun or whatever for him. But like, he's just chilling and doing what he did. But yeah, you know, then if you go way far to the announcement post, like you're saying with him with a zarf on his head, like he has all his colors. His eyes are bright. Like. He's, you know, a different dog there and stuff. And like, you know, it's so easy to sit there and be like, oh, that's what it was. But
yeah.
Isn't it, but going back to that family photo, though, isn't it like so telling, though, that like Ben doesn't really understand what Portillo is.
Yeah.
But he just knows that there's this amazing thing that's fluffy that he just wants to interact with.
He loved petting Porty. Jen would always have to say gentle. And he got it for the most part. You know what I mean? But. And, you know, do whatever interpretation of any of it you want. But since Porty's been gone, number one, day of, he wanted to be held up to the Porty photo in the living room, which he's never done. And then he talked. Mm-hmm. He was like, not like words, obviously, but like actually like had a, yeah. And like, which also he doesn't do normally. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then in the room when I'm putting him down, he has a wiener dog mobile and he's never given a shit around it before. Yeah. And now he's like obsessed with it. And so it's just like the weird things where you're like, you know what? I'm not going to project anything onto what's happening here or whatever, but that's happening and that's very fascinating and how that would happen.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm sure he misses him, right? I mean, that's the thing is like the thing you guys are really talking about is like there's just this unspoken, like you can't really put your finger on a bond between us and dogs. I mean, I guess our animals in general, even though I'd argue cats are from Satan. But you know, and it's you can't really put it into words. I mean, that's just how it all, that's how it is. And that's what the importance of like that relationship is. And I think they probably felt that, you know?
Yeah. And we've talked a lot, obviously over the last couple of days about the family dynamic and the makeup of our family and how that's had to shift dramatically and why it feels so intensely like, just like a train hits you every morning when you wake up because we have to readjust. And like, I'm sure Ben feels it where, you know, every morning we would
do family time where I'd get up and I'd go wake Ben up and get him in a new diaper and get him a new outfit. And Jen and Porty would wake up in bed and then, or maybe would wake up in bed. Sometimes Jen would keep sleeping. But if they woke up, she would say, let's do family time. And we'd all come back and be in the bed together.
And like, so, you like, would pet him. And so, yeah, it's.
So to do, yeah, like, you know, that Saturday or Sunday or whatever, where I went and got him and I came in. I'm like, do you want to do family time? And it was this weird thing of like, is it family time if Porty isn't here? Like, what is this new thing? What is this new move? I don't even know. Yeah. This new makeup, right? And that's something, you know, we've talked about a lot. Like, again, back to it, like, do you give Jen all the flowers in the world? Like, I could not do this without her. And she has been so supportive in taking care of me at my lowest, obviously. It never made me feel bad for it. Not that I expected anybody would, but like,
stop crying, you little bitch.
But just the fact that, like, you know, there's like no judgment. And then for her to feel those same things, the fact that we're feeling the exact same thing.
So intense.
You know, and I, and the fact that like it's not lost on me either. Like, it's 6 months from the last time this happened. You know what I mean? Like, Jen, you guys obviously have known. And I say you guys, meaning you three and Kevin, obviously. But then also everybody who's watching knows how much I love Jen and I think understands our relationship and how powerful it is and how fast we got together and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, to go through the trauma of childbirth in Benjamin, right? Like, and I don't, you know, like, that did not go well. That did not go right. That did not go according to plan. And then 6 months later, I'd have to go through the trauma of losing Porty and stuff and be there. Both of those like put us into different stratospheres in terms of relationships and communication and people. Like, you know what I mean? Stuff we've never had to go through before. And I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're just bonding over intense emotional events, which I suppose is a sign of a healthy relationship. Maybe also because
we have the normal time.
Yeah, we have normal times where we're both tired and annoyed and, yeah, you know, we just like me. But in those intense moments, the fact that we're both so raw and we just welcome each other's emotions, I think has been, I mean, we're on the same page. We have the same priorities. We care for each other. Like, those are all obviously pillars of a good relationship. And yeah, so it's just this beam of intense emotion for several days, and like, you know, I'm so grateful that we're on the same page there, because it's yeah, I had previous experience having to put a pet down, my 18-year-old cat, but I was in my early 20s and I was not living with him anymore. He was at my parents' house. No. And so I never had to go back to the space where he lived in. And so I went back to my Montreal apartment, lived my life, you know, it was an easier transition. So, but in this case, it's unparalleled. Also because I've been telling Greg, like, I've never known him without Porty. So when I met him, he came with Porty. And so
date one. Like,
yeah, first date, he was there.
Like, and, we're at a fancy steak restaurant.
No, his dog's in a tuxedo, so whatever.
We got drunk and we went to watch Nashville, all right? And Porty was there. That's a very cool first date. Yeah.
I think, you know, you guys have been through so much recently, and you know, the difference being like 6 months ago, it's like it was so hard for you going through that, but that ended with something great. This right. is, you know, this is the end of a journey, and there's a beginning of a journey, and there's something beautiful to be said about that,
for sure. Like, for sure. No, I mean, that's not lost to me. That was the build up to you know, putting them down. Was the I kept saying, like, you know, as we are getting closer and closer to having Ben, you knew your life would never be the same. You knew it was about to change, but you knew it was going to be additive. You didn't know what the next day would feel like, but you knew it would be this positive thing, and it would be, you'd have this new life and yada, yada, yada. Whereas with Porty, the buildup of putting him down, right? Like, it felt like one built up and one built down. You knew it was going to get there, and the next day would be completely different, and you wouldn't know what that would feel like, but it would be subtractive, that it wouldn't feel the same. And obviously, like, you know, there's silver linings to Porty, you know, not being around, like, you know, the medicine, the treatment, him being out of pain, all these different things.
We only have one creature waking us up at night now.
Yeah, exactly. Porty and Ben tag teamed us for a long time. One would get up.
Ben would wake up, then we'd put him down, then Porty would be like, hey, we're up, and then we'd put him down, and then Ben would wake up, yeah, and then Porty would be like, are we up again? And then that would be, it was that for 6 months.
And so, yeah, that was the thing, right? Of like, you know, there's a bunch of really neat silver linings to it, right? Or not, you know, maybe not silver linings, but there's neat kismet and crossover to it, right? Of like, you know, the same thing of like, I posted about it, but, you know, when Jen got pregnant and we knew Porty was declining in some regard, it was this thing of like, 9 months, a lot to ask. But I kept saying to him, like, just make it till the baby gets here. I just want you to meet him. I just want a photo of you two together. So the fact that he gave us 6 months, right, of memories and photos and stuff. And then, you know, Laura Bailey, you know, had reached out, you know, her and Travis had a very similar thing where they had their son and then they lost their wiener dog. And I remember at the time sending them flowers, and I think it was 18 years. And I put on the card, like, 18 years, may we all be so lucky. And so, you know, she reached out with a lot of words of encouragement this weekend. And one of them, of course, was that, you know, since they had the crossover, they had it and we had it, like, you know, their son counts their dog as their dog. Like, he talks about that dog. He knows, he has photos to look at of that dog. And like, he feels like he has a relationship with that dog. He really doesn't have memories of that dog. And our nanny had said the same thing, that the kids she watches, you know, they are in a very situation. It was a cat or
it was a
dog.
It was a cat.
Same thing with a cat, where they'll tell people about their cat, but they didn't meet their cat, but they have photos of them as babies with the cat and stuff. So it's like, there's this nice thing there with, you know, Porty then, of the same regard, right? Of like, okay, cool. Like, Ben will know that. Ben will understand why there were so many goddamn wiener dog things in his room in this house, let alone, you know, maybe we'll have a wiener dog again by the time we get there or whatever, you know, who knows. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff to that. What an episode.
Yeah.
Real uplifting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great that you guys can share this stuff. And you guys know, I mean, eventually that severe grief you're feeling right now will subside. It'll
of course, thank God.
Think about him, but it'll go from being, you know, 20% of remembering the good times, 80% grief, to the opposite, right? You'll remember those wonderful times. You'll see pictures and you'll think about them. It'll be a little, there'll be that pang of pain, of course, that goes along with any loss. But the reality is, like, you know, you guys have entered into this amazing new era of your life, where, you know, you've experienced this loss, but you have BJ to look forward to, and you're going to raise him, and he's going to be incredible. And, you know, one day he'll be Andy's boss.
Of course. Yeah.
God.
He'll be Andy. So much taller than all of us.
Andy, we might have some openings at Pop Agenda if you want to.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hey, the ASMR division.
Yeah, exactly. Andy,
take him.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting right now. The one thing we talk about is, yeah, how much the photos and videos and memories are helpful. Like, all that's great. That's not what makes me cry. What makes me cry is the missing him
in the absence. The house.
Yeah.
Well, we found little tricks, or like, not tricks, but things that help relieve some of that. Because it's the absence of physicality that's been really, really difficult. And so we have like his blanket that, you know, I've been spooning at night, just like, because he would sleep right against my chest. And so, like,
I came to bed Friday night, like, ready for bed, not in a good place, not, you know, great, but in a good place. And like, I came in there and Jen was already crying, and like, I got in bed and I was like, awesome, I get to be strong for a change. I get to be the one who comforts her. This is great. And then she said, I'm gonna get his blanket. And it's his blanket that Lucy used to have, that he loved, when he always slept on it when Lucy had to move away, we moved away. She's like, you can keep it, Port. And so he loves it. And it's one of, in the photo, it's the blanket he's on or whatever, when I'm kissing him. And so Jen brought it back in the room and rolled it into a thing. And then I'm like, all right, yeah, come on. And she laid down and then she put it in my arm, exactly where Porty slept, in my arm. And I was fucking done. I was so fucking, I was just,
I gone. Didn't mean for things to go this way. Like, we usually sleep, well, we usually slept like that, where Porty would fit right into, when we go to bed first, we all like to cuddle, and then it's like, leave us. Like, we don't want to touch each other, and we're all on our bedsides, and Porty is on one side or the other, right? And so we just switch sides. But then we always start with either Porty in Greg's arm, and then like, I come over and I hold his little toe beans at the bottom, you know? And so I just wanted that. It was a loaded movement.
Yeah,
I
just fucking destroyed me. And then, yeah, when we came back on that Friday, when we came back from lunch, it was like, oh, right, this is going to be a living nightmare.
Yeah.
Jen went in there to take care of Benjamin, and I came in, and I asked him if they needed something, and then I glanced down, and I burst into tears. She's like, what? And I walked over, and I grabbed the little super Porty that had been knitted for Benjamin, because there's a shirtless Spider-Man that got knitted for Ben that came with the little Porty that can – attached to his wrist. Mm-hmm. And I've been carrying it now in my pocket for 4 days or whatever.
He like weirdly has the same like straw fur texture, and he's a little rough around the edges, and he's like old crooked. So he's very accurately porty. And so it's been nice.
Like a scale model.
Exactly. It's been nice.
You kiss him on the head. It seems like it feels somewhat normal. It feels like somewhat like when he's porty or whatever.
So it's small gestures and like sunlight.
Oh yeah, sunlight, of course. Yeah, still feels like I've never spent so much time in the backyard where it's like we, you know, it's been so nice in the bay lately. And like, yeah, like at Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like I would just go out and sit on the steps and cry.
Yeah.
Because that's where I know he'd like to be and where he liked to walk around. And then Jen took his water bowl out there and put his water bowl out there for animals. And I was like fucking Jen. Devastated by that too.
Oh, God.
Skunk that comes at night.
I was going to say, I was like, it's lovely gesture until the skunks come.
Oh, I mean, we see it on the cameras every like other night at 4 a.m. He goes down the stairs. And so, you know, I also just wanted a location, and that's where he used to poop the most. So
it was his spot.
I have one question before we get out of here. All right.
Good for him.
Eric Myers writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, "Hey, Greg and Jen, I hope that you two are doing okay. As a dog owner, I want to know what is the one thing Porty did that may be small, but you feel defined him? A particular noise, maybe the way he yawned, or just a small detail that you will always remember that made him the best good boy he was." Thank you guys both for sharing him with us through all the ups and downs. And I hope you know how much of an impact and legacy he leaves behind. Much love, Eric.
For me, it's when we make fun of him going,
just the stupid noise we made up for him that he makes when he walks around going,
because he's not steady on his feet. He's not steady on his feet, and he's like always shaking a little bit.
Always shaking a little bit. Yeah, it was bad like, there in the end. And that's the thing is, I think there's so many little things. There's that, you know, like we had a baby gate up for him and baby. And so, like, in his crotchety old age, he got a little bit better when Ben got here because he realized, of course, like, wait a second, I'm no longer the number one priority. But in his crotchety old age, he would come down, we'd bring him to the living room to watch TV or hang out. He would maybe give us 30 minutes. Then he would want to go to the kitchen and sleep in his bed. Then he'd get up from the bed and want to go to the big bed, but he'd always want to go to the big bed about an hour too early. So he would just walk over, put his face between the bars, and then rock back and forth and go like dung, dung, dung on the thing. And so like now I've caught Ben has, you know, crib bars, and he'll hit those, and it sounds so much like it that it cracks me up, but also makes me sad. The clickety clack of his paws, you know, you came, when I was taking care of Ben the other night, you walked by and it did a little bit of the same noise. And I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
His horrible breath.
Horrible.
You know what I mean? That was always bad.
In the last few days, he started drinking from cups again, which he had completely dropped in the last 2 years.
You remember that when he would only drink out of cups. When I was going through phones, I had CJ's so many things cup. Of us. Yeah, exactly. A CJ's or a Shakespeare's cup he would drink out of.
Like a solid 2 years of no cups. Yeah. And now like the last 2-3 days, that's all he wanted to do.
Yeah. But there's that. It's the smell. I hope I don't ever forget a smell. Because I like the smell so much. Not his breath, but his potty. little toe beans.
I laughed so hard, Greg, at the photo. I was reminded of this moment of the photo that Chloe, our friend Chloe Naylor, replied to you with. And it was during, I think, Star Wars in Review, and you decided to come out as Professor McGonagall. And you were yelling, and Porty was in the studio. And Porty walked out like... And I'll never forget the look on his face of just like pure confusion as to why his dad was just up that way and yelling at the top of his lungs. And he just kind of looked up at you like looking really good. Like I'll never forget my perspective behind. We were all behind the desk looking down at him and I was laughing at you. And then I looked at Porty looking just completely like, what the fuck is going on right now? That was a great moment.
There's one that I need to... dig out. Tim will remember it, and I think it's Ben. Please be excited, but if it's not, I apologize. But it was like a month, maybe even 3 weeks after No Way Home had dropped. I think it was Ben. Please be excited. Sent me a one of his photoshops, and it was Ned and MJ looking into the portal, and it was shirtless Spider-Man coming out. There it is. Oh my God. Yeah, Kevin, I'm gonna send this to you. This I totally missed this. That, anyways, it was the one I'm. This is Chloe that I'm sending you, Kevin. The one I'm talking about is the shirtless Spider-Man and then pantsless Spider-Dog. He had edited them to come out of the portal too. And so I sent it to Tim. I'm like, is it too soon to post this because of spoilers? And Tim's like, yeah, it is. Damn. But then I never put it up. So I got to put it up today. I'll put it up after this.
Yeah, yeah, now it's fine. But yeah. Oh, 40.
I love it.
Wearing his bravery bandana, the like same bandana he wears in Tome.
Oh my god!
So confused in that moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Podcast. Thank you for all your love and support for Portillo. We'll never forget him. Obviously, oh my god, I almost totally forgot that thing. We'll never forget him, and he's always going to be part of Kind of Funny. Which leads us to a very interesting dilemma for Kind of Funny that I want you to know about, and it's probably only a dilemma for me, but you know how I am, and I want to talk about it. So. Everybody knows Nick at Campfire Designs does amazing stuff all the time for Kind of Funny. Back in October, he gave us a whole bunch of different designs for merch lines we were going to do. And we were going to have new Kind of Funny merch every month. You can go see Sensei Scarpino right now on kindoffunny.com/store. You can see all the other ones we've done as well. Of course, when he did these, like, can I do a porty one? We said, of course you can. And of course, because it wouldn't be kindoffunny.com if we didn't have Kind of Funny luck. That merch line is supposed to go live next month. May. So there's two schools of thought on it that I've gone over in my head, where you cancel the merch line or you say, no, he worked really hard on this. We love Portillo. Portillo is always going to be a part of this. And selfishly, I want the merch. And yeah. So we're still doing the merch line. I'm telling you all this and over explaining because. Sorry. Hold on. I know that you're watching this podcast and you love us and you think we're great and yada, yada, yada. I also know how many people try to hurt me on the internet and don't like me. And that's fine. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about people who don't like me. I care about making content for you. But I can't have anybody walking away next month thinking that we rushed this to merch to try to cash in on Portillo's passing or something like that. It's not some weird cash grab. It's nothing like that. It was in production forever. I love the design. I love Nick. I love Portillo, and I want it to be out there. But I don't want – I can't deal with anybody thinking that we were doing this for weird, nefarious reasons.
And even if – even then, like, the audience needs to know how long it fucking takes for these goddamn merchants to come out. Like, the amount of times that, it, like, we see a T-shirt and we talk to Joey 4 months later. She's like, yeah, they're getting – it's like, Jesus, when is this goddamn merch coming out? So – it takes a long ass time for these things to actually go, which is why we kind of stopped the whole, like back talking in the day merch. Before I even joined, y'all would do the really topical t-shirts, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that just can't happen anymore because how long it takes to like test these things out and everything like that.
Yeah. I mean, from a selfish standpoint, Greg, and I know that that's a difficult thing probably you'll have to deal with at some point, but I really want that hat.
So, 100%. 100%. Yeah, no,
I hate really it. Cool. And I think it honors our king. So I think we got to put it out there. Truth be told, I think it's probably one of the best designs we've ever had. So,
and we put out merch when he was alive. So, like,
and we're gonna put out a lot of merch after he's dead. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
cash in on it eventually. This just isn't that. You know what I mean?
Honest, Clifford the Big Red Dog, he's been dead for years. You know what I mean? They're still selling shit with his face on it. They just made
exactly, exactly.
So, I think we're Gucci.
I mean, Nick, you think I didn't shave this dog and keep all the hair to sell on a Kind of Funny Day 2023? You kidding me right now?
You think we have it? You think we don't have a text thread going back and forth trying to paste that thing into a mustache for Kevin to wear? Exactly.
It is so not a lot of fur to it. It would just be like a little teenage.
It would just be like one little Hitler mustache.
And it's red. So it would be like, what is going on with Kevin's mustache?
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Podcast each and every week for sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to keep bullshitting with us, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course we're about to do a post show. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you could get each and every show ad free. You could be watching live, just like Nick from Campfire Designs is, Greg Spencer and Joshy GR. If you have no bucks to toss away, it's no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Of course, a brand spanking new episode, chock full of ads, no post show, but you still have fun if you use the Epic Game Store. Use the creator code Kind of Funny if you play Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys. Use the creator code Kind of Funny on the platform of choice.
Good job surviving that.
Yeah, you
get emotional about this.
No, I just got a burp in the middle of it. You know, I made some carnitas tacos before this. It was great, but man, you know, we got a post show to do, ladies and gentlemen. But until next time, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure to serve you.